From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, a walk on the paranormal side with Steve Volk. It's called Fringeology. Get ready for that. Here's what's happening. Well, get ready. The sun has unleashed a solar flare, which could create a strong geomagnetic storm on Wednesday from the event's coronal mass ejection, which is an explosion of charged particles triggered by the flare. The coronal mass ejection is directed at planet Earth, moving at about 3.1 million miles an hour. Due to its single angle, however, effects on Earth should be fairly small. Nevertheless, it may generate space weather effects here on Earth in a few days. The sun is currently going through an active period in its 11-year solar weather cycle. The current cycle is called Solar Cycle 24. Missouri suffered a small earthquake while we were on the air in the morning that caused no death or injuries, a relatively minor blow for a state already hit by a series of natural disasters this spring, including tornadoes, floods, soaring temperatures, and now this 3.9 magnitude. They thought it was a 4.2, and they lowered it. President Barack Obama has dismissed fears of a plunge into a double-dip recession and has warned against panic over dismal economic data that is beginning to cloud his reelection hopes. In a news conference with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, President Obama responded to signs that the recovery may be slowing and sought to assure skittish and nervous investors that voters had better times ahead. But do they? Andre Eglishon with us. Andre, what do you think? Better times ahead or not?
Well, I think that we still have very challenging times ahead, George. This economy is in a very, very fragile recovery. Until we begin to produce jobs in this country, no amount of stimulus can continue to support the U.S. economy.
Now, we've had a number of guests on the show, Andre, who have predicted, psychically or so, that President Barack Obama will win re-election come next year. The way things are going right now, if you had to guess, would he?
I think he probably would win re-election right now if there were election today, in spite of what the poll numbers are saying about Mitt Romney leading the president in the polls. It's way too early. In previous elections, we had candidates that were winning the incumbent president, and they ended up losing. So it's way too early to predict whether or not President Obama would be reelected, but I think he stands a good chance.
Andre, of course, also an accomplished author, Where the Right Went Wrong, A National Security and Thieves in the Temple. What's new with you, Andre, since we last talked?
Well, I've just been monitoring what's going on in the economy. I think that once the Federal Reserve ends its quantitative easing program, or QE2, that is the purchase of $100 billion in treasuries per month, the government is going to be left with no choice but to raise taxes and cut programs. As long as bond yields continue to rise, it's going to be very difficult for us to continue to borrow money at the same pace that we have over the last decade. So make no mistake about it, we have challenging times ahead.
Okay, Andre, thank you so very much. Police officers shot an alligator twice in the head before realizing it was only a garden ornament. The officers had been called to a home in Kansas City after a passerby reported seeing an alligator by a pond. When they saw the creature in the grass, they were quick to reach for their rifles. They shot it twice in the head. It was only when the second shot bounced off the alligator, the officers realized it was made out of concrete. Well, still, they're scared in Germany. Faced with an unprecedented E. coli outbreak, a team of German doctors now trying something equally new, an antibiotic therapy that some fear could do more harm than good. The treatment has shown initial success, but there are worries about possibly fatal side effects. Dr. Frederick Hagenmüller says that when patients' lives are at stake, the unorthodox therapy is worth trying. The world's deadliest E. coli outbreak ever has killed 24 people, infected 2,400. In a moment, Stephen Quayle joins us with his take on what might be going on, and it's kind of scary. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back to Coast. Now, those of you who are regular listeners to the program, you know the name Stephen Quayle. Those of you who are brand new, Let me tell you a little bit about Stephen, noted author, host. Some of his books, of course, on the front lines of major news stories, his research of war and space, ancient histories, and also technology unmatched. And for more than 30 years, he's been investigating ancient civilizations, giants, UFOs, and biological warfare. And that's the reason I'm bringing Stephen on the program tonight. Stephen, ever since this story of this E. coli outbreak in Germany hit, I have thought it to be very strange, an extremely weird story. And now I'm beginning to think you're there too, aren't you?
Well, yeah, and I think this is the sum of all fears, and what I was trying to get across to people over the times, George, you and I have done shows together, on all the dead scientists. This is definitely a biowarfare agent. It has multi-point release. It has multi-drug resistance. There's no cross-contamination. It's got recombinant strains of DNA. In the basic language, I know to simplify, this is a specific biowarfare agent that has been designed to do one thing and one thing well, and that's kill people. And because of the nature of this biowarfare agent, understand that all even antibiotic therapies that might be proposed have already been integrated into the design of the weapon. When you create a bioweapon, especially, you always make sure that if you're the bad guys or, quote, the good guys in their own eyes, trying to, you know, make war on someone or some country, they always have to come up with something to protect themselves. So the last count I heard was 3,500 people now infected and 35 people dead. But the hemorrhagic nature of the E. coli strain, what's called enterohemorrhagic, concerns me because you and I did a show a number of years ago, actually quite a few years ago, on when Ebola broke out in Kikwit, Zaire.
I remember that.
And remember I said if I were certain the intelligence agencies, I'd make sure that place is covered because someone's going to come in a helicopter and they're going to take that. And then when that gets into the hands of the wrong people, we're going to have a laboratory versions of some of the worst pathogens in the world basically being brewed by people who aren't afraid to use them. It was less than 3 days after that, after you and I did the show, and I posted it on my website, that the natives in the area of the village that was infected reported seeing a helicopter and men in white suits taking, you know, tissue samples from the dead people. And I think it was, you know, incredibly prescient that we did that show at that time. Bringing us fast forward right now, this is one of the most dire presentations of biowarfare. And I got to tell you, even with this, what they've got in store is even more lethal.
Well, the fact, Stephen, that they have no idea where it's coming from, what the source might be, is bizarre, too. And as you know, they went from Spanish cucumbers to the sprouts at an organic farm in Germany, where they backtracked on that last night. They have no idea what's going on, do they?
No, but I think what's interesting, and I got to tell you, Mike Adams, I don't know if you read his stuff, but he probably nailed it better than anybody. He said, remember that on the heels of the European Union ban on medicinal herbs and nutritional supplements, basically that was a ban that outlaws all nutritional therapies that would help keep people healthy.
Right.
I can't say that word.
Without prescription.
Without prescription. Yeah. Now, if you notice Spain resisted the introduction of GMOs into its agricultural system. And even as the WikiLeaks revealed that the U.S. government covertly threatened political retaliation for its resistance. Now, isn't it interesting that Spain says no way? And what happened? It was economic devastation to Spain's vegetable farmers. So I've got a couple terms, George, I think people would better get used to and maybe make a mental connection.
You're adding this to Webster's dictionary now, right?
Yes, now. But I mean, GMOs are zombie feed, okay? And I think it's really important for people to understand the Hegelian dialect. It means you create a problem, you provide the solution, and after you provide the solution, you bring about a desired result. Now, I'm going to call this the Hegelian pharmalectic, meaning that somebody in the world of biowarfare and pharmacology, and if people really understood how much money is going into the ultimate weapon, whether it's a race-specific bioweapon, whether it is a targeted bioweapon against a specific brain pattern, And we don't have time on an hour to talk about the electromagnetic induction that Tom Bearden has so brilliantly detailed. But the point being is this is something that people got to understand. Normally you have a trackable and traceable point from the origin of a pathogen. When you have multi-point introduction, that means it's being disseminated and basically released in multiple areas at once. Now, what do people have to gain by this? Well, as you probably know, the food is the ultimate weapon. The very famous quote that food is a weapon, we use it to determine who lives and who dies.
Right.
And that's the way it is. And I think, you know, I think Barbara Marx Hubbard said that. But the point being is that this is very, very suspicious. And again, one of the things I think I failed to communicate clearly or clearly enough is when I first started cataloging the dead scientists, I'd get tips from different people who were fed up with the intelligence community, active duty military, special forces, et cetera. And they're saying, this is why these men and women. Now, these were not clunky people. You and I went into great detail to talk about the virologists, the molecular biologists, the bioweapons designers, the immunologists, and some of these people were specifically in the bioweapons warfare field. So it's now easy for people to see that I think that there is someone out there with such a contempt for mankind that even genetically altering these pathogens is nothing to them. And when I say this, you know, you and I have talked that I don't want to become menu items for the monsters. And it's tragic, in my opinion, that the United States press, especially the mainstream press, is so lacking in any type of investigative journalism. We're seeing a big push in this country, too, for outlawing elderberry. Now, you got to know that there's something wrong if SWAT teams show up to take away elderberry. Elderberry is very effective. There's even a brand that is approved by the FDA called Sambucol, and with massive amounts of research and studies. But if you can take the natural resistance of the human body away, if you can generate this fear that, oh, good night, I can't eat raw vegetables, or I can't eat sprouts. Sprouts, by the way, are one of the most amazing survival foods out there. The thing is that you see war. So basically what they're saying, everything that God made that's in the natural that was meant for our well-being is no good. But everything we give you in a box, well, gee, not only will you get to eat the food, but the food gets to eat you. And it makes me furious. And now it's in our faces. And I think it's only going to get worse. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody. I believe that the answer to this is finding out who is behind genetically modified organisms. And then for those senators and congressmen and political hacks, traitors, I could go on, but I'll stop there.
And let me ask you this while you're thinking of this. Why Germany? Why was this, if it was dumped, why dumped on Germany?
Well, I think that if you understand, Ebola first broke out in some of the labs in Marburg, Germany. That's why you've got the Marburg virus, which I think Richard Preston wrote about, or Lori Garrett and The Coming Plague. I think they both dealt with it. And I think the thing is that whether, and in no case do I believe this is an accidental release, but it's kind of like you release it one area to try and get it focused in that area. And I believe a lot of the original research that's going on there. Now, listen, Germany, too, has the best food safety and food inspection in the world. You cannot beat the Germans. That's a compliment. So somebody is basically, I think, making war on Germany, too, for the very standpoint of saying, even with all of your techniques and investigative abilities, we got you on this one. And again, there is a fight going on behind the scenes between nations, between financiers, between the different power brokers of the world. And it's becoming more dire daily.
And because they don't know, Stephen, what the source is for this E. coli,
right,
and they don't know exactly what it's on, what are people there eating? I mean, have they stopped eating vegetables now altogether because they're panicked?
I do not believe that they've panicked, because I think, number one, the Germans are pretty bottom line, and they understand that something's going on. Here's how I would trace this, and this is a word to the wise. I think that they should begin to look at every single laboratory that's even dealing with any form of antibiotic resistance. Now, every government, whether they admit it or not, of consequence, especially in the European Union, and other nations around the world deal with biological warfare. They may not call it that, but whether it's their equivalent of the CDC or whatever, there are absolute ways of tracing this. And again, George, for the record, for the people that don't know what I'm talking about, on my website, stevequayle.com, Q-U-A-Y-L-E.com, on the left-hand side of my nav bar is a whole link on dead scientists. And you know, they've been turning up again. You know, it seems like there's a specific period where the information on dead scientists kind of goes dry a little bit, and all of a sudden, a lot of them are dying under mysterious circumstances again. And I made the statement on your show years ago. I said the point that that has to be understood and reiterated over and over and over is they're getting ready to release designer devastation in these super strains of both bacteria and virus. And by the way, E. coli is one of the most common. We carry it in our gut. And so if you're obviously the thing that you can do is you can blame the food. I'm saying it's being dispersed some way other than food, but they're blaming the food, as Mike Adams details, in order to bring about their agenda. Their agenda is really simply this. You will eat nothing that isn't prepared by the control mechanism of the world. And we're going to make sure that raw milk, raw vegetables, everything that used to be good for us, but all of a sudden it's bad, yet somehow GMO is wonderful stuff. Listen, this is goblin stew.
Well, what about this? What about this possibility? I mean, they're talking about treating this with antibiotics. What happens if they announce in a week, we have a brand new antibiotic, some pharmaceutical company comes out and says it kills this strain of E. coli? They're going to make billions doing that, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Now, would you put it past someone to do that, given...
No, I wouldn't put it past them at all.
How about all the billions of dollars, and you and I did a show that were being made on the scare of this new influenza strain, where we're going to go to a bio-level 5 hazard worldwide.
With 150 cases. That
yeah,
was it.
Yeah, and then how many billions were made? It was in the hundreds of billions. So that is always there. And that's why I call it basically the pharmaleptic. In other words, the pharmaceutical companies setting up the dialectic. Now, look, there are so many ties into the world of intrigue, so many deaths, so many billions of dollars in research money. And if you wanted to make Spain toe the line to come into the EU, then obviously you're going to send them a message behind the scenes. And if you send them a message behind the scenes and they don't respond, then you're going to send, I would say, the ultimate scare tactic. And it is scary because when you threaten a person's life, and just like you brought up, George, killer point. I mean, a double entendre there, but a killer point is this, is that if you scare people, if you produce the virus, oh, and we just so happen to have a new breakthrough in an antibiotic that will treat this, the question, people run to the antibiotic, but like you brought up in your opening statement, what happens if the side effects to the antibiotic that are supposedly treating this new outbreak are not tested or have another nefarious purpose?
Right.
Something that people need to answer themselves or ask themselves is this question. To what effect will the chemtrail spraying that's been going on for 7 years and all the barium and the aluminum and all the genetic binders, what happens when these specific biologically engineered biowarfare agents start to combine through genetic binders on a global scale? And I got to share this with you. These people, I call them the devils that are behind the scenes, they want to destroy pretty much 4/5 of the world's planet. And now most people couldn't believe that. But when we're starting to see massive death around the world, even the United States, and the horrible images of people, that's not even good enough for these people. They want absolutely 9/10 of the world's population gone. So what I'm saying is that obviously there is a twist going on here. And first of all, too, that this E. coli is also easy to catch human to human. Usually there had to be fecal contamination. In other words, some poor hygiene. They cannot trace any modality of any, there's no cross-contamination. In other words, they can't trace it to, let's say, a specific restaurant, a specific salad bar, a specific grocery store. And the fact is, if it were starting to spread from point A to point B to point C, they would have a linear progression.
And they don't have that.
And they don't have that. So can I tell you something? And all the bioweaponeers that I've ever interviewed, read, or had the privilege of, and when I say privilege, it's tongue-in-cheek, of just how casually they talk about the ultimate weapon. they absolutely are thrilled with the ability to break down the linear tracking ability of their weaponry now. So it can be aerosolized. Listen, it's not beyond the realm of putting it into an exhaust type system and simply driving down a road in a vehicle. Now, obviously, it's pretty much been segregated to a specific part of Germany so far.
But it's still a bizarre story, Stephen, so much so. Let's stick around and take phone calls when we come back. Questions for Stephen Quayle, perhaps stories. Maybe you've come down with some kind of E. coli. Thank God not this one. We'll be back. Well, next hour, Steve Volk joins us as he tries to explain away the unexplainable. Get ready for that, starting with a ghost story he had when he was a little boy. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Steve Quayle about this E. coli outbreak and take your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. You know, what's interesting about this strain, Stephen, an epidemiologist says that the patients, the people who come down with this E. coli, their awareness becomes blurred. They have problems finding words. They don't know who they are. And then all of a sudden, they become very aggressive. This is bizarre stuff.
Well, I think that it's so bizarre that the bizarreness of it leads to a beta test in the real world of all of the properties. Listen, when these ghouls from hell, my word, develop these weapons, they're not happy just with dying. They'll introduce different attenuants, that's my word, into the mix just to see how bad they can make it. And they take in, George, when they design this, they take in everything they think or know can be used against it, and they harden the bioweapon so that if you use any of the treatments, it's ineffective. So I would say this, the confusion, and also, as you know, it causes kidney failure, it causes liver failure. I mean, this is the ultimate shutdown the human body, and if you can't do it one way, make sure you got all your bases covered.
Let's take some calls here with you, Stephen. We'll go to Zeke, truck driving in California. You're up with us. Hey, Zeke, welcome to the show.
Hi, George, how are you?
Good, thank you.
In a traffic jam out here.
Well, you be careful.
I was going to say that the new trucks are running a substance called diesel exhaust fluid, and it's they fill the tanks on them. They have a small tank, and they inject it into the exhaust system, but it's made out of urea, which is 67% urea and 33% water. And as far as I know, urea is derived from boiling down bovine urine. That's where it's derived from. And then one other thing that Stephen had talked about was like countries. When SARS broke out, there were three things that were going on. They closed down the country of Canada. There were three things that were going on with Canada. One, Canada was not going to send any troops to Iraq.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Second thing was they wanted to legalize marijuana. And the third thing was they weren't going to stop busloads of older people from going up to their country and buying pharmaceuticals. Lasted about 3 weeks. They sent troops. They forgot about the pot, and they stopped the busloads, and all of a sudden SARS disappeared.
SARS disappeared. Do you remember that, Stephen?
Absolutely. We were talking about, and I think the truck driver is very astute, because basically what we're doing now is we're seeing the use of weapons used against the peoples of this world and also specific countries to get them to toe the line. And what the listener just reported is absolutely true. So what do we have? We have Spain not going to go along with the GMO. Then they get threatened. Then they get, if you will, they're the ones who are tagged with starting the outbreak. And then we see Germany. And by the way, Germany's having issues with the United States and with other nations, especially in leaving the EU and possibly going back to the Deutschmark, and that's a whole other story. But fear makes people toe the line. If you scare them bad enough and show them bloody, gory images, George, then they're going to say, well, I want that new vaccine, or in this case, I want
They'll beg for it.
You got it, the new antibiotic. And see, this is the tragedy. It's the same thing going on in the realm of, and it's not the scope of this talk tonight, but the weather war that has been going on in the Mississippi River Valley and going on throughout this country, when you've got guys posting like Dutch Sense and others who are posting the radar images and then saying within 24 hours we're going to have a massive string of tornadoes, even nailing the towns, I mean, identifying the towns. I mean, this is stuff that's wild. And then you're getting into now, we can't go into it tonight, but the Bearden material where the Russians have proved that electromagnetic beams can broadcast the specific frequencies of diseases.
Will we...
You know, that's a whole another story, but they've proven it. It's no longer, you know, supposition or hyperbole left over from the Cold War. This is real stuff. So I commend the listener who just called in. He sees it for what it is. And my hope is by this broadcast, people will start to ask the right questions. Why is this the most dangerous and deadly strain of E. coli ever to come out? And somebody just sent me an email saying that, remind George that the space shuttle a couple years ago was doing specific experiments in space with E. coli. And by the way, tonight they're reporting in Southwest Virginia, Northeast Tennessee, an outbreak of E. coli, but it's the O157 strain. But it just so happens that one of the big drug companies, Pfizer, has a vaccine for that. You see, the thing is that it's not outlandish. It's not any longer conspiracy theory. It's not just looking for a boogeyman, but what it does is it panics people into the solution. And I call it basically the slaughter chutes. The slaughter chutes are those who are creating the problem are going to give us their solution, and their solution is going to be just as deadly as the problem they generated in the first place.
Will we ever find out for sure about this E. coli strain?
Oh, absolutely.
Will it just go away?
I'm telling you, there are some people, and how do I say this delicately? There's some people who have said enough is enough, and they're in position to know what's going on. And my prayer and my hope, and I'm not hoping, let's say this frivolously, but my prayer and those without that are just the mighty men and women of valor, they know what's going on. And if there's any people that can basically reveal the truth, these are people that I've alluded to and know and have done this stuff. They're dealing in a world. Now, I want to share something. This is not just normal biological warfare. We've got the stories coming in out of Antarctica of everybody drilling in to the Antarctic Lake Vostok. We've done shows together on Operation High Jump, and there's so much interest in what's in Lake Vostok. You know, a movie that everybody should see is the X-Files movie that Chris Carter did. There was more truth in that movie than most people will ever realize until it's too late. Because, again, the idea of the globalists, whatever you want to call them, the Illuminati, Luciferian Brotherhood, the Brotherhood of Darkness, those who hate all of God's creation are to destroy. They're trying to destroy everything, the plant life, the human life, and the animal life.
Let's go to New York. Marie's with us. Hi, Marie. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, George. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Sure thing.
Steve, thanks for the details. I have a question, though, because I think you said about the E. coli and the bacterium that it is recombinant, which would mean it's genetically engineered, and I'm just wondering what the evidence is for that.
Well, I'll give you the evidence. First of all, it's already been tested to be totally, totally immune to all of the 8 leading antibiotic categories. That has not happened and cannot happen unless it's incorporated into the bacteria itself. In other words, it's not only ampicillin, it's not only the sulfa drugs, it's not only the, C-chlor, all of the different, that's a trade name, but all of the different drug categories, this thing has incorporated into it. Number two, when something has never been seen before and there are multivariants and strains of a specific E. coli, when this thing has non-standard E. coli results that it's producing in people's bodies, then the only conclusion that can be drawn, it's not me saying this, it's some of the smartest virologists and molecular biologists in the world saying this thing has come out of a laboratory. The fact, again, I'll give it to you, the multi-point release, the multi-drug resistance, the multiple strains of DNA. And by the way, both China, scientists in China's Genomics Institute, and also all of the different, virologists and the people around the world are saying, we are testing this. They get samples of it, and they're saying, this is not normal. something has altered the genome of E. coli. Something has gone in and modified it. And now the big question that has to be asked, is it mutagenic? In other words, does it mutate from here? Does it have some non-visible effects that will manifest over the next couple of weeks? So what I'm saying is, if the major laboratories in the world are saying it's recombinant DNA, biologically engineered, I can't argue with them. And I would say, based on everything I know, and I wrote the book Breathe No Evil, this was my ultimate concern.
Bill's in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's up with us. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, George.
Hey,
Mr. Quayle. How you doing? Yeah, I've been following the story since it started. And I'll have to tell you, it follows every line of a test of a biological weapon. It was a strain that was only ever seen, a similar strain, in Korea. And then suddenly it disappeared. It's kind of like what you went back with the Ebola virus and the helicopter. And then suddenly now it appears in Germany. And both of you probably know, and many of the listeners know, that if you want to disseminate a biological weapon, the easiest way would to give a spray bottle to somebody, to walk through a restaurant, to spray doorknobs, whatever.
Whatever.
This is like a test. This is some sort of test, maybe a terrorist group, somebody
can't rule that out,
is starting to say, okay, we've got a weapon. Because I'll tell you, everything I've ever read about biowarfare is they call it the poor man's atom bomb. And to make atomic weapons is very difficult, but all you really need is basically a brewer's kit to grow germs.
Well, you know, the old saying is, Stephen and Bill, who benefits? You have to look at that when anything occurs. And at this point, Steve, who can we say who benefits?
Well, first of all, those who hate mankind benefit, because they've been on record as saying that the human race needs to be depopulated. And, you know, I've done shows with you, George, where we've quoted the different people that have talked about that. Who would benefit the most would be obviously the point you brought up, is someone who comes up with an antibiotic. And then someone also benefits, the people that benefit the most are those who basically get all of the natural foods and natural supplements off the market, so you can only buy them with a prescription. There is an orchestrated attack on the human body's immune system that I believe is the most incredible thing created by a living, loving God. And now you've got these people that hate him and hate his creation, and they're working overtime. It's just like when CJD came out, and all of the different whirling disease in fish and up in our part of the country, in different places in the United States. I mean, you have this central theme that it's not enough just to attack the human population, but if you attack the food production, or you scare people away from what's really healthy and insert a genetically modified organism or Soylent Green packet of whatever they're going to put in that packet, then the point is, you also not only control the food, but you charge accordingly. We no longer have any food choices, and this is why so many people are speaking out and acting out and starting to hold the politicians and calling them to task over wanting to take all food, or wanting to regulate your garden, my garden, or attacking elderberry distributors, elderberry syrup.
Well, when I saw initially that they were blaming it on an organic farm in Germany because of the sprouts, I said, that poor guy's business is done. He's over. And, you know, then they backtracked the next day. Are they going to apologize to this poor guy?
Oh, no. They
recalled everything he had.
Yep. And you know the story. They cannot trace it to the sprouts. Now, that was the first assumption, okay? So the first story is worth paying attention to. So they want to track it, or they want to blame it on the organic farmer. And in this country, there is a war against the small farm, the family farm, and anybody that isn't a corporate farm. Listen, we have outbreaks in giant beef processing and chicken processing and egg processing, and you never hear this kind of uproar. Yet it seems like there is an orchestrated attempt to destroy anything that's natural and basically make you go to the boxes or the what I'm just calling it, Soylent Green, okay?
Next up, let's go to Dennis, truck driving in Utah. You're up with us. Hi, Dennis. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
I wanted to ask Stephen, on your website, or are you going to be doing any speaking engagements or seminars here in the next 2-3 months?
No, I only go on basically a couple talk radio shows, and George is one of them, and I do another one. I don't travel and speak because, number one, I found that too many people don't care. You and I care, and the people who listen to Coast care, so it's counterproductive. I'm limiting my efforts. Like, I just wrote my new book, George, Angel Wars, and the subtitle is No Flesh Left Alive, Past, Present, and Future. And by the way, that book is in the pre-sale. We're going to start shipping next week, and I'm surprised. I mean, I'm amazed and grateful for how many people want that book. It's the only time I've ever put out a book that I believe encapsulates all this, because as you know, George, you and I have talked about ancient technology. We've talked about the supernatural influence from my perspective of fallen angels teaching mankind specific arts that were forbidden. And it's interesting because even the book of Revelation, the word sorceries, most people don't know this, when God's reading his indictment against the earth, that they didn't repent of their sorceries. That word's pharmakia in Greek.
Well, you've got a great following. Steve, we've got a Skype caller from Germany I want to get on right now. George is with us. George, can you hear us?
Yes, I sure can.
All right, tell us. Obviously, we think here in the United States that things are panicking in Germany. Can you give us a little perspective?
Absolutely. I'm not sure about Hamburg. I'm 50 kilometers north of Hamburg in a small farming community. But here, everyone truly believes this was a man-made virus, and we all think it was some attack. As far as our being afraid to buy vegetables or food to eat, where I am, we buy everything either from the farmers' markets or go directly to the farms. Here, it's still legal for the farmers to sell their vegetables in a stand in front of their farms. So that's how we get ours, and we simply don't really worry about it too much and think that they should check with the companies in the stores who buy these vegetables, that because they can't seem to find out where it came from.
No, they're totally baffled. With terrorism, though, George and Stephen, most of the time, after a day or two of the event, that group is going to come forward because they're proud of what they've done. That hasn't happened yet. Stephen, do you find that to be strange?
No, I don't, because the nature of this is I'm pretty aware of terrorist capability, even what terrorists buy on the black market, because of all, you know, the different people I talk to and interview. But this has got two genes that are specifically not ever found together. One of them is called TEM1, and the other one is CTM15. That doesn't mean much to anybody, but those don't occur in normal E. coli. That's the sophistication. There's only basically bioweapons labs can do that, and big pharmaceutical companies.
Right. My gut tells me it's not a terrorist act. It's an act of terror by somebody who's out to benefit.
You're absolutely correct, George. That is the bottom line. And I got to suggest everyone, literally, if they'll go to my website, I posted Mike Adams, Natural News, Health News. He's got the best article. It's the one that I sent both you and Lisa.
Yep.
And there's nothing better, and he nails it. I would encourage everyone to go to Steve Quayle, StevQuayle.com, and go to my yesterday news. It would be the second batch of news down from today's. They're separated by a little line. And read the article, because Mike has nailed it and others. So what's going to happen, and thank you for the caller in Germany, this isn't an issue of the farmer who's selling his produce out in front of his farm. You know, that happened in America. It has for the last 300 years, but the devils that are want to shut that down in this country. So people had better realize this, that they have got to spend their time understanding that they need to take control of their food. They need to consider where they're getting their food. And this is this is an act of commercial terrorism, just like we talked about. And the truck driver who brought up Canada, what a great illustration for tonight.
As Eisenhower once said, beware of the military-industrial complex. We'll keep on this story. Stephen, thanks so much. Up next, Stephen Volk joins us. We're going to find out how he tries to explain away the unexplainable on Coast to Coast AM.